Wishbone Boys Wednesday. We'll be doing this in the weeks preceding the season coming up. And, of course, the Wishbone Boys is a documentary featuring Alabama's great wishbone offense, unveiled in the early 1970s when a team won 100 games in a decade and helped Coach Bryant set the all-time win record during that span. One of the guys that was there at the beginning is with us here, and his name is Gary Rutledge. Certainly, when you think about all those great names of Alabama football lore, you think about Rutledge. That's right, at the top of the list. It's one of them.
Exactly.
And Gary, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
You know, we've not had you on the air with us before, but we've had your brother, Jeff, and, you know, he was funny, but I was talking to AP Stedham to help set this up. He says, boy, Gary's really, he's funnier than Jeff. I can't wait to hear your stand-up act during this segment here. Appreciate you doing this morning.
I don't know about that. I am better looking than you.
There you go.
There it come. Here it goes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've read a lot of things on you coming up, you know, about coming in with Coach Bryant, and the, you know, after the great run in the 60s, you kind of turned a new leaf, and the wishbone offense was the change at Alabama that kind of brought on this success, and you were there right to see the unveiling of it. And what's interesting to me about that is it was secretive. I mean, nobody knew Alabama was going to unveil this offense when they did so against USC, and you were able to be a part of it. You were a freshman in 1970, and you played when they had freshman teams. I'm curious, when you played on that team, which went 5-0, did you guys run that offense? Were you kind of breaking that in, or was that a little bit before it kind of got started?
That was before it got started. You know, being a freshman in 1970, we played on the last freshman team. And then that spring practice of 1970, we were still running that offense. And then we came back in the fall, and that's when Coach Bryant sprang it on us, the fall before the 71 season. And, you know, nobody saw it coming, and he was very secretive about it and told us not to tell anyone, not our girlfriends, not our parents, nobody. This was a complete secret. Keep it hush-hush. And then to even make it more secretive, you know, back in those days, they had the Sky Riders, the sports writers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Come in a bus, you know, to every college campus to watch practice. And then when they came, we had been working on the wishbone prior to the day they came. And the day they came, we ran the offense that we had ran the previous years in the 60s.
That's
just
amazing.
To hide the fact that we were going to do that to Southern Cal.
Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, a lot of times you just say these practices are closed, but no, we'll just put on a show for them, and then we'll go back to what we've been working on. How much time did the program work on that offense to get it ready before that USC game?
Well, I mean, we all that fall, basically, it was just, you know, because, again, in the spring we worked on our regular stuff. Coach Bryant was assuming, again, we were going to win or lose with what we'd done in the 60s, but we had, you know, good quarterbacks and good people there, and we still were losing. I think we went 6-5 in 1969 and 70. I can't remember, but
yep.
Anyway, so he thought we got to do something. So he knew Darrell Royal and those folks and how successful that was. And you know, Coach Bryant was an innovator. He was willing to change. You know, he wanted to win whatever it took. And he went from a supposedly passing of offense, you know, Joe Namath ran it, Pat Trammell, Kenny Stabler, Steve Sloan, they all ran that same offense. So he was willing to change to go to something that we hardly threw the ball 10 times a game. And lo and behold, it made Alabama football a history.
I do want to talk about that, how the changing and how coaches are able to evolve. And we, when we say that, we think about Coach Saban and what we've seen. And I know you've watched him. Alabama was built on defense, and they had a strong running game, and it's not that that's not still a part of what they do, but we've seen the transition with the way they throw the football now. And I look at your statistics. For your career, 43 of 79, that's career numbers. Now, you threw for a pretty good number of yards. I mean, you had some big yards there, 1,188 and 43 receptions for 11 touchdowns. But, boy, the game has changed a lot, hasn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. They throw as many times in one game as I did my whole career.
I know it.
You know, it's amazing to watch them do that. But that's the way it has evolved. Yeah, defense is still the number one thing, but they spread you out now. You know, we based it on just how the defense reacted to us. Now, you know, the offense attacks and spreads them out, and it's really more fun to watch, actually, now than it was then. It was kind of boring, a lot of people thought, but again, it was very successful, the wishbone.
I read something Kirk McNair put out there on the Where Are They Now on the Bama Online site, talking with you, and he had some interesting things, and he talked about the wishbone when you ran that offense yourself as a starting quarterback, and you've got a national championship ring in your time at Tuscaloosa. But one thing about it is you're involved with every play. I mean, I think he asked the question, you said, yeah, you're right. You're hit on every single play. You're going to take a lick whether you got the ball in your hands or not.
That's the deal, yeah. If you ran in the true wishbone offense, the triple option, yeah, the defense had a right to hit the quarterback because we had the ball, and we were either going to keep it or we were going to pitch it. And so they would come at us, you know, because they had their assignment. Once somebody had the fullback, somebody had the quarterback, and somebody had the pitch guy. And so if I kept the ball on out further down the line of scrimmage, then somebody was going to hit me. And yeah, I didn't like that. I'm a big sissy, and it was no fun to get hit. But at the same time, that's what you had to do. And it made the defense wrong. If we ran the play correctly and read what they did, then we would be successful on that particular run. And then also we would change the play at the line of scrimmage back then. We did that a lot. They would, you know, to the wide side of the field, they would expect us to be going to the wide side of the field, so they would put an extra guy over there. So we would change it and go to the short side of the field. And so we couldn't be wrong if he read it correctly.
And Trey, he's sitting with me, played high school ball when the team here in Tattlesee ran that. It's funny how something in college evolves everywhere else, and high school teams all over the place ran that same offense. It was the offense that just about everybody ran back in that time, yeah. Didn't they?
Yeah, so it is. And it's about like it is now with this new offense that we're running gun, spread it out, you know, throw it every play. Yeah, that was the thing back in the 70s and 80s was the wishbone. And again, it was hard to stop if you ran it correctly. You had to have a hard-nosed defense that were willing, all 11 defenders had to be willing to tackle, you know, forget the pass so much, but get up there and be aggressive, take on a blocker. Our running backs were excellent blockers. Coach Bryant would not let running backs play if they couldn't block. That was the thing he wanted. They had to be blockers first, runners second, and they were tough guys. A guy like Johnny Musso, one of the first guys to run the wishbone. He was probably the best blocker ever. Randy Billingsley, he was great. They didn't mind sticking their head in there and blocking. And you know, Coach Bryant, we never won a Heisman Trophy while he was there because we were a team. Everybody was a team.
Gary, I got a question for you. When you were recruited by Alabama, were you a passing quarterback? Was you recruited to be able to pass, or how did you adapt to that? Were you as good with your right hand as you good was with left hand? Can you kind of go through that and how you adapted to that?
Well, I was recruited out of Banks High School here in Birmingham, and I was recruited as a passer. But I was coached by Shorty White, and we ran back in those days, they had an offense called the Houston Veer, which was split backs, two backs in the backfield, each lined up over the tackle. And it was a triple option as well. They dove the backs dove straight ahead, and I went down the line and either gave it to that back or went on out and optioned. So I had ran the option in high school, even though we threw the ball more than we ran it. So I was familiar with how to run an option and do that. So I was fortunate, I guess, that they changed the offense to something I had ran before, but I was recruited as a passer. And so it surprised me as much as anything when they went to that, but it didn't bother me because I knew I could do it.
When you were recruited, as Trey was talking about there, what was it? I think you were an Alabama fan, so it was a pretty easy decision. I know I've heard you say before, but what was it like being recruited by, you know, Alabama and obviously playing for Coach Bryant?
Well, it was a dream come true to be recruited by him. My dad played baseball on scholarship at Alabama, and so he had taken me to all Alabama football games growing up. I mean, I remember, you know, Kenny Stabler running in the rain at Legion Field. We were under a tarp sitting there, and I'd been to lots of home games in Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. So I grew up wanting to go there. And then, you know, how many kids dream of playing for Coach Bryant, playing at Alabama? And I got to live my dream, so I was very blessed with that. And so, you know, I got to do it, and I was so surprised that I did. I had confidence in myself, but, I mean, Coach Bryant, he already had 4, 5, 6 guys down there at quarterback, and before and after me, they kept recruiting them. So it just worked out that I got to play. I'm not very big, not very strong, but got to play. It was just, again, history-making, and I was, the second guy to start. Terry Davis was the first guy. He started in 71 and 72. I backed him up in 72, and then I started in 73.
You were there from that 70 year for as a freshman through the 74 season, right? And those were good years. I mean, especially from 71 to 74. And the 73 team was known as the national champion. Was there a team that you thought was the best team of all of those? And obviously you led that 73 team to that title as a starter.
Well, the best team I thought we played that year was Notre Dame. You know, we won all 11 games that year, but we played for the national championship because Notre Dame was undefeated and we were undefeated in the Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans in Old T-Lane Stadium. And we lost that game, you know, 23-24. But that was the last time the UPI, the United Press International Group, voted national champion before the bowl game.
Yep.
And we didn't know that we were going to win the national championship either way, or at least we could say that. And they beat us, and, you know, we all were very upset and crying and stuff in the locker room. And Coach Bryant, you know, was very proud of us, and even though we lost, he was proud of how we got there and so forth. But we never knew that was going to happen. But so Notre Dame claims it, and we claim it.
The 73 team, was it as good as 72 or 71, you think, or better?
Oh, I think it was better myself. Yeah. We knew more about the wishbone. We knew how to change plays. We'd audible the passes, and some of the long passes that I threw were changed at the line of scrimmage, you know, because a lot of times these teams would have to bring up a safety coming from inside out to take the pitch man, and help take the pitch man, or help take the quarterback who might cut up in there. So they were worried more about the run than the pass, so we faked them off just by faking to the fullback and going back and throwing the ball.
What do you think of Alabama football now?
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I love their offense. I love the way offensive coordinators call plays. I'd love to have been more of a passer. I would have, and so my brother as well, we talked about it. We'd love to have been running this offense because it's a pass-happy, you know, you got so many different people out in the routes that you can find an open receiver if you just – read the defense, you know, and it's fast and it's moving, but it's just different. And quarterbacks still get hit today. They're more gentle with the rules about hitting them, but they still get hit. But it's just more fun to throw the ball than to run the ball. And again, you had to love to get hit, and it's just part of the wishbone deal. And I got hit, didn't enjoy it, but that was part of it. So as long as I could move the ball, you know, and Coach Bryant could see the team was responding to my leadership in the huddle. You know, that's what he looked at, too, was leadership by quarterback, leadership by the running backs, the linemen. You know, without our linemen, we wouldn't have been able to run the wishbone. So there was a lot of factors that made it successful.
I know you still keep up with some of these guys that you played with, and I guess it was kind of a fun thing to talk with some of the people about this Wishbone Boys project and reminisce a bit, right? Going back about 50 years.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot. We're fixing to have this weekend a group of guys that signed in 1970 go to Steve Sprayberry's Lake House for the weekend. You know, be about 20 of us. So, yeah, we enjoy talking about it. You know, we get better every year. You know, the older we get, the better we were.
I believe that.
But we have a great time. We reminisce about the stuff. And it's funny to me, I tell people, you know, back like in my day, the starting offensive line, the center was Sylvester Crane in 73. He weighed 220 pounds. Steve Sprayberry, our left tackle, 225 pounds. Our left guard was 210, John Rogers. Right guard was 225, Larry Ruffin and Morris Hunt. And then the biggest guy was Buddy Brown, our All-American, at 265. So you think about those 220s, 225 guys, today they're small running backs, small fullbacks, you know. They would It's just amazing how the size of these kids have changed. I mean, quarterbacks now, you know, Saban's not going to recruit them unless they're huge and big and strong and fast. So I would never play if I was back in the day, back playing now. So it's really changed. It's really funny to watch.
Yeah, it is a change. But your part was certainly a big part of the success that we've seen over the years, generation to generation. We appreciate your time today, Gary, and look forward to maybe talking to you again sometime.
I'd be happy to join you. Thank you so much, you guys, for having me on.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you, Gary. Gary Rutledge, former Alabama quarterback, talking to us a little bit about the Wishbone Boys project. The Wishbone Boys documentary is going to be coming out in August, and you can actually go watch it in Tuscaloosa. The details will be coming where you can purchase tickets for the premiere. And it is coming out, fittingly, right before the next football season. College football is not too far off. Appreciate his time today. Again, Gary Rutledge, from the early 70s at the University of Alabama. We'll continue with the Wishbone Boys Wednesday each week here on WTLS.